My wife and I want to thank you all so much for your love and encouragement this morning. And sorry that we didn't get to speak to everyone and a lot of people. It's been quite hectic, but we really do appreciate your love in the Lord. We are really grateful for you guys. Now, this morning we looked at David and how he was a man after God's own heart. Now we're going to look at somebody else, Saul, and how he wasn't a man after God's own heart. Now, if you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel 13. We'll be mainly looking at verses 8 through to 14, but for the sake of context, we'll read from verse 5. 1 Samuel 13, verse 5. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth-Aven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Let's bow our hearts and our heads in prayer. Father, we want to thank you again that we are able to gather here. And the only reason we're here is because of you, because of your grace. And Lord, we thank you for showing us grace and mercy and allowing us to live this day. And Lord, please help us now to come together to worship you, to honor you, to have our eyes be fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go through tonight's passage, we ask that you would please challenge us, change us, conform us more into the image of your Son, that we might be more like him, that we might live as you would have us live. Lord, please help us in this. We can't do it in our own strength. And Lord, we know that we can't understand your word unless you are in here to speak to us. And so, Lord, please do speak to us through your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, and I saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course and each careful step along the byway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Now, those words are really, really famous. They're the well-known lyrics from the well-known song, "I Did It My Way" by Frank Sinatra. Now, the song is all about taking charge of your own life and being the boss, being the master and the commander of your own destiny, being the master of your own fate. The "it's all about me" attitude, where I do what I want. Now, tonight, we're looking at someone who did just that. We're looking at this character from the Bible who, through his actions, cried out, "I did it my way." Now, if you were here this morning, you'd remember that we were looking at the idea of what it means to be someone who is after God's own heart. And this morning, we looked at David and how he interacted with Nabal and with Abigail. David was insulted. He was out to kill Nabal and his people, but Abigail met him and persuaded him to turn back. From this morning's message, we concluded that David was a man after God's own heart, not because he was perfect, not because he was perfect, but because he recognized when he was in the wrong and he repented. David was mindful to do things in God's way. Saul, however, was a man who didn't do things God's way, but rather he did things his way. In the passage that we've read, we're told of King Saul's sacrifice. It was an unacceptable sacrifice. It was done his way and not God's way. Saul's sinful sacrifice shows that he was an impatient man, and his impatient attitude had grievous consequences. So what do we learn about Saul through his actions and attitudes? Well, there are three things we want to consider this evening, and we'll note how one point leads to the next as we go through tonight's sermon. And hopefully we'll see the difference this evening between Saul and between David, how they reacted in their circumstances, and what we can learn from it all. So tonight, our first point is Saul's impatient attitude. Saul's impatient attitude, verses 8 through to 10. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. From the passage we read, we learned that Saul was an impatient man. Saul and his company, they were in Gilgal, and they were there waiting for Samuel. Now, this was something that Saul was familiar with. Waiting for Samuel wasn't something new. If you could turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. And in verse 8, this is what it says. "And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I'll come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." Now, this passage in 1 Samuel 10 is a completely different scenario to our main passage here in 1 Samuel 13. But in both cases, Saul was in Gilgal waiting for Samuel. You know, when we look at these two passages, we kind of get the impression that Saul waiting for Samuel in Gilgal became a routine. You know, it seems that for every time there was a major decision to be made in Saul's life, he was to go over to Gilgal, wait 7 days for Samuel, who would inquire of the Lord, and if that's the case, then Saul should know by experience what he ought to do. He ought to do what? Patiently wait for Samuel. It was something familiar. It wasn't anything new. However, in our passage this evening, Samuel was nowhere to be seen. Time was ticking, the Philistines were preparing, and Saul's soldiers were scattering. Under pressure, the king became more and more impatient, and so he commanded for the burnt offering to be brought to him, and he offered it right there, right then. And as soon as he made an end of the offering, lo and behold, Samuel enters the scene. Now, some people might read this passage and argue that Saul was forced to do what he did because Samuel didn't come in the appointed time. And therefore, Saul was justified. Saul was right in what he did. However, verse 10 tells us that Samuel did come and he did arrive within the 7 days. He arrived as soon as Saul finished his offering. It was within the appointed time. He wasn't early. Samuel wasn't early, but he wasn't late either. And it wasn't because of Samuel's supposed tardiness that Saul offered the offering. No. Rather, it was because Saul was impatient. He only had to wait a few moments more, just a few moments more, before Samuel would arrive. And everything would be done the proper way. Everything would have been done just as it was done before. However, Saul was impatient. Impatience causes wise people to do foolish things. Hence, we have that old saying, patience is a virtue, and how true that is. You know, whenever we're impatient, we're more likely to be reckless, and we don't think things through properly. Now, I want to share with you a story of a time that I ruined a family barbecue because of my own impatience. Now, my dad was teaching me how to do up a barbecue, and the fire was there, but the fire was going out. I should have trusted that my dad knew what he was doing, but I thought to myself, I need to keep that fire going. I have to get that fire going. And so I took something and I fanned the flames, not mindful that the barbecue was already on top. And when I fanned the flames, the ash went up, and we enjoyed ash-flavored barbecue that night. All because I was impatient. I thought I had to do something about this. I should have trusted my dad knew what he was doing. Impatience causes us to do really, really foolish things. And I know that many of us here could look back in our lives and see times when we were impatient, times when we let impatience get the better of ourselves. Impatience causes wise people to do foolish things, and this was true of Saul. We learned that he was an impatient man, and his impatience caused him to do something that he shouldn't have, which brings us to our next point. And we'll spend our time here, the most of our time. So we had his impatient attitude, now we have Saul's impertinent action, verses 11 and 12. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore, and offered a burnt offering." What was Saul's impertinent action? Well, he offered the burnt offering. Later on, in verse 13, Samuel says that Saul had done what? "You have done foolishly." Now, you can see and somewhat sympathize with Saul here, right? Because on the surface, it seems like it's a good thing to offer to God. It seems like Saul was in the right. However, in this case, it wasn't right. This causes us to ask the question, what was wrong with Saul's offering? Why was his offering wrong? Well, here's three reasons why it was wrong. Firstly, Saul was not commanded to offer, so he wasn't meant to offer anything up. God didn't command him to offer anything, and by making the offering, Saul was taking matters into his own hands. He even says in verse 12, "I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." It could be argued that this situation was a test from God. Would Saul wait? Would he wait and trust that God had everything under control? Or would he manipulate everything so that he could be in control? You see, impatience causes us to doubt God. Impatience causes us to look to ourselves how we can manipulate things for our own benefit. And impatience shows us that we're not resting in God's sovereignty. So let's be encouraged whenever our patience is tested then to be patient and practice that patience so that we don't take matters into our own hands. So if this had been a test of obedience, it's obvious that Saul had failed. So first, he wasn't commanded. Second, Saul didn't have the authority to perform the offering. It had to be done by a priest or a Levite. Now, Saul wasn't a priest, and he wasn't a Levite. He wasn't from the tribe of Levi. The Bible tells us that he was from the tribe of Benjamin. God commanded that the sacrifices and the offerings were to be done by those who were in the Levitical priesthood. The only exception would be when God says otherwise. And there's an example of that found in 2 Samuel 24. Over in 2 Samuel 24, we're told in verse 25 that David offered to God. Now, David, he wasn't of the tribe of Levi. He was of the tribe of Judah. But it says here, 2 Samuel 24, verse 25, "And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel." Now, how come David's offering was right, but Saul's offering was wrong? David was right because God had commanded it to be done earlier on in that same chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 18 and 19. God had commanded it to be done. 2 Samuel 24, 18 and 19 says, "And Gad came that day to David and said to him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded." David was commanded, Saul wasn't. You see, God wants things to be done his way, not according to our ways. He wants things done to be done according to his ways, not Saul's ways. The same applies to us today. Was it good to offer to God? Yes, it is. It's good to offer to God. In fact, he commanded that things should be offered to him. However, it had to be done according to his way, But sometimes we think doing things our way is the right thing, don't we? We think, okay, I'm going to do this because I know it's right. But the question we should be asking is this what God wants? We ought to ask ourselves, what says Scripture, not what I think is right. So Saul couldn't do the offering because of that. And thirdly, Saul was in the wrong because in performing the priestly task, he assumed the role of a priest. By doing that, Saul spoiled God's picture. In 1 Samuel 10, we're told that Saul was anointed to be king over Israel. And in that very same chapter, it also tells us that God's Spirit came upon Saul and he prophesied. 1 Samuel 10, verses 10 and 11, it says, "And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, that he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said to one another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" So Saul already held the offices of prophet and king. He assumed the role of a priest. You know, only one person is worthy of occupying all three offices of prophet, priest, and king, and that's Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. In performing this offering, Saul assumed position of all three offices. He was prophet, he was priest, and he was king. Whether he was ignorant of it or not, what he did was spoil God's picture. Saul's error was something that God took seriously. Now, Saul was wrong in what he did, and he should have owned up to his wrong and apologized. You know, Samuel asked him, "What have you done?" That question, "What have you done?" It was a chance for Saul to consider his ways and to repent. But instead, he tried to justify his actions by making excuses. Now, there are three excuses that Saul makes in verse 11. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 13 and reread verse 11. Here's what Saul said. "And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash." Those are his three excuses. The first excuse was that the soldiers were scattered. You know, it shouldn't matter if everyone else forsakes God's cause. Just because the soldiers were scattering, doesn't mean that Saul should have lost confidence in God. But he uses that as an excuse. You know, everyone scattered, therefore I'm going to lose confidence in God. The second excuse was that the prophet Samuel was not punctual. Here we see Saul shifting the blame. Instead of saying, "It was my fault, I was it wrong," he says, "Samuel, this is your fault. You weren't here when you were supposed to be. You're late." But we noted earlier that Samuel wasn't late. He wasn't early, but he wasn't late. He was within the days appointed. So the third excuse was that the adversary was assembled. He looked at his circumstances. He looked at his situation. He looked at the enemies, and he was overwhelmed, and he lost sight of God. He lost sight of the God who had promised to fight for Israel, and instead his sights were set on the enemies mounting upon him. You know, when our hearts aren't right with God, we're exactly like Saul is in this passage. We don't serve him in the way that we should, and we make excuses for ourselves. We look at our situations, our circumstances, and we allow them to hinder us from seeking God and serving him properly. And we will blame anyone and anything for our lack of service or our faulty service. All three of Saul's excuses hold no weight. At this point, right here, Saul should have said, "I was wrong. I'm sorry." But he doesn't. He goes further than that. You know, after making those excuses, he tries to justify himself. He tries to explain why he was right. He says, "Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." He attempts to justify himself, to make himself look like he was in the right here in this passage. He makes himself sound so spiritual. He made it sound like he was in the right. The enemy's coming, and I haven't offered anything. I need to offer something to God. You know, one of the hardest things for us to do is to admit that we're wrong, isn't it? It's hard for us to admit that we're wrong. We want to be right. We want to think we're in the right. We want to convince ourselves and those around us that we're in the right. And that's exactly what Saul's doing here. He's convincing himself. He's trying to convince everyone around him that he was right. But he wasn't. Sadly, we follow in Saul's footsteps far too often. Saul's impatience was an indication that his relationship with God wasn't right. He thought that he was doing what God wanted him to do, but he was wrong. If Saul's heart was in line with God's heart, then he would have known that the right thing to do was to wait, not to offer in the first place. But that's not what he did. He took matters into his own hands. Saul's actions have consequences. This brings us to our third and final point, the result of Saul's disobedience, his impeachment and his abasement. Saul's impeachment and abasement, verses 13 and 14. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Samuel says that Saul had done foolishly. He was foolish because he didn't keep God's commandment. He didn't do what God wanted him to do, but rather, he did it his way. He assumed the offices of prophet, priest, and king. For Saul, there was consequences for going against God, and it meant impeachment. Saul would lose the kingdom that God had given to him. You know, it wasn't to say that Saul wouldn't be the king anymore, because we know that Saul was the king until the day of his death. No, rather what this means was that Saul's line would be cut off from the throne and none of his descendants would rule as the rightful king of Israel. His kingdom would not continue. Now, it wasn't uncommon for kings to lose their kingdoms in ancient times. Usually kings would have their crowns and their thrones taken from them because they were defeated by an enemy nation or kingdom. But notice how Saul lost his kingdom. Saul lost the throne not because of defeat, but because of disobedience. Saul lost his throne because of disobedience, not defeat. The enemy hadn't even made a move yet. They were just gathered. His actions have consequences. You know, what if Saul had just done the right thing and waited? What if his attitude was right? What if his heart was right with God? He wouldn't have lost the kingdom. Actions have consequences. Saul was impeached, but he was also abased. Let's look at what verse 14 says. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord commanded him to be captain over his people. God was looking for a man after his own heart. What does this imply? Well, it simply implies that Saul wasn't that man. Saul was not a man who was after God's own heart. What constitutes a man who is after God's own heart? Well, you see, a man who is after God's own heart would do the opposite of everything that Saul did, who would be the opposite of everything Saul was. A man after God's own heart would do things the right way, God's way. Saul was an impatient man, but a man who was after God's own heart would be patient. Saul did not wait upon Samuel, which meant that he didn't wait upon the Lord. A man who is after God's own heart would wait patiently upon the Lord. He would be still and know the Lord and trust him patiently at all times. Saul wanted to do things his way. A man who's after God's heart would submit to God's way and say, "I surrender." Saul compromised by taking matters into his own hands. A man who's after God's own heart would have his desires in harmony with God's desires, not taking matters into his own hands. Or if he does, he would repent and go back to God. A man who's after God's own heart would admit his wrong and accept the responsibility, whereas Saul saw himself in the right and he blamed things around him. So in light of what we've looked at this evening, and in light of David this morning, let's ask ourselves a few questions. What can we learn from Saul's impatient attitude? Well, we learn that impatience is an indication that our heart isn't right with God. It's a sign that we're eager to do things our way, instead of doing things God's way. What can we learn from Saul's impertinent action? We learned that when we are impatient, we take matters into our own hands, and that we're not resting upon God's character and promises. And what can we learn from Saul's impeachment and abasement? Simply this, we learn that our actions have consequences and that they can serve to humble us. Therefore, we should be humble lest we be humbled. You know, for Saul, everything went from bad to worse. It all started with one small step, though. That small step of impatience. When we're impatient, we can end up doing things that have a ripple effect going from bad to worse. Now we see here, as we conclude this evening, the difference between Saul and David. How David was a man after God's own heart and Saul wasn't. Let's contrast them. Saul and David both took matters into their own hands. David was out to kill Nabal. He said, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to kill this guy. Saul here is saying, I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to sacrifice to God according to my way. But the difference is that Saul hardened his heart, whereas David's heart was changed. Saul thought that he was doing God a favor by offering. David praised God and recognized him as a sovereign. Saul justified his actions. David readily changed his course of action. What separates Saul and David? Humbleness and humility. Both men took matters into their own hands, but only one was humble enough to admit his wrong. Only one was humble enough to fix his eyes upon the Lord and repent. And that's what made David a man after God's own heart, and Saul not. And now the question that we want to think about this evening, and I want to leave you with this, is, are you someone who's after God's own heart? You know, God's not looking for perfect people. None of us here are perfect. None of us. Not me, not you, not the pastor, nor his wife. However, God is looking for people who would humble themselves, who would admit, I'm wrong. I don't want to take things into my own hands. I want to live according to God's ways. Are you somebody who's willing to walk in humbleness and humility and admit that you're in the wrong and that God's in the right? Saul and David, two men, two very different men in a very, very similar situation, taking matters into their own hands. It was humbleness and humility that separated them. And if you want to be a man, a woman, a young man, a young woman, a boy or girl after God's own heart, it's not about perfection. It's about willing to submit to the Lord and say, God, I'm wrong. And if anyone's here who's not a Christian, we plead with you, admit to the Lord that you're in the wrong and that you need him to make you right, for only the Lord can make you right. And for us as Christians here, I encourage you, let's walk in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because guess what? Unless we're walking in his grace, we're doing things our way. We're doing things exactly as Saul, exactly as Frank Sinatra, proclaiming, my way, I did it my way. So let's learn to walk in humbleness and humility, trusting in the Lord, asking him to lead us, and let us submit to him all the days of our lives. May God bless the reading of his words to our hearts. Let's pray.